I had brand new skin like a baby. And even my doctors were shocked. They said, what would take 6 months? It happened in 2 weeks for you. This is because of your faith plus your disciplined approach to this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
You know, going back to one of your sayings about you had a patient with psoriasis and then it was there for 5 years, and if you could do it for 2.5 years. But what I've seen in my practice, okay, 2.5 years will be a challenge. But what I see is just by following it for just 90 days, you will see a remarkable changes already. But the problem is they expect this within 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I have a advantage because I have the patient with me and I feed him what he has to eat. Yeah. And it's a big difference between treating a patient in outpatient and inpatient. Inpatient means you're having complete control of them. So usually for outpatient, it's a little more challenging, which I see, because they are exposed to these triggers constantly. And what I explain to patients, 2.5 years, I'm sure if they do it for 2.5 years, it will become like completely reversible if they are really dedicated and following all the protocols. But just by following it for just 3 months, you start seeing a phenomenon, and that will give them motivation. Maybe I don't want to go back to that habits, and those triggers will not be triggers anymore. So I think somewhere people expect this to go away within a week or 2 weeks. So I think somewhere basics should be like 3 to 6 months.
I totally agree.
And that's where the real reversal happens.
In fact, in my book, I've spoken about my journey with urticaria.
Mm.
So I had multiple health issues as a child. I had a cancer scare when I was 16 years old. I was in the hospital getting mammograms, needle biopsies done. I had 4 surgeries before I turned 18. I had epilepsy as a child. I had tonsillitis, deviated septum, fibrocystic benign tumors, migraines, and I had terrible appetite. And then I developed insomnia at the age of 24. Chronic insomnia where I would sleep only 30 minutes a day. Okay? In 2020, January, I went to Utsavama festival in Rajasthan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a dry, arid climate during December month. Mm-hmm. It was very cold,
mm-hmm,
and was dry and arid, and I kept eating a lot of chilies, not realizing what it was going to do to my body. And I was having a lot of viruddhahara at that point in time because I didn't have knowledge of it. Suddenly my skin broke and it felt like it was on fire and I didn't know what it was. By the time I reached Bombay, it took 48 hours via another city. My skin was so blistered that my doctor got a shock when she saw me.
Mm.
My in-house doctor. She said it's second, third degree urticaria. And it looked like, my skin looked like an acid attack victim's skin. It was completely blistered. Mm. It turned black and blue. And it had swollen up. And she gave me the medication. She immediately put me on Panchakarma treatment, Takradhara, and the complete Yogbasti treatment to pull the poison out of my system. And I was on a series of medicines, Mahatiktakam Kashayam tablet and everything to pull the poison out. I was determined to get better because I knew that this was finally a test of my own belief and faith.
Mm.
I have such an unconditional, unshakable belief and faith in Ayurveda. I said, this is a true test to see if it really works.
Mm.
As a caution, Ayurvedic Vaidya also sent me to a dermatologist. And now this dermatologist is the city's best, most famous dermatologist who happens to also be a client of ours,
mm,
who also does Panchakarma. When I went to her, she said, from the time you called me to the time you've come and visited me, your skin has improved a lot and the pain has reduced a lot. I will not give you steroids, neither injection nor oral steroids. Go back and do what you're actually doing right now.
Mm.
I said, I'm doing Panchakarma. She said, don't stop. Go back. She said, I'll only give you topical steroid to apply when the pain is unbearable. Don't use it until then. She was an excellent doctor to give me that kind of an advice. You know, not too many dermatologists will give you that kind of advice. Dr. Aparna was next level. She sent me back to my own clinic. I came back to my clinic and maybe my placebo effect was strong. My doctor said it would take 6 months for me to recover from urticaria. And she said, there are
your Ayurvedic doctor.
My own Ayurvedic doctor in my own clinic. Dr. Vinodini said, it'll take 6 months, madam. It's a very bad case. The skin has completely come out. And I said, okay, let's do what we can do best. And I couldn't even see patients for those few days. You know, it was such a bad situation where I couldn't smile. I couldn't blink.
Yeah.
My skin had dried up. My eyelids had dried up. And if I sneezed, God forbid, my nose would be bleeding continuously because the nervous system had dried up here. Yeah. So my face became like a dry autumn leaf and it was on fire. In 2 weeks, I'm not exaggerating, Takradhara, Abhyangam, Elekili, and Panchakarma treatment, Yogbasti. My skin started falling off, like crystals. We could feel it come off. And the poison started coming out during my Yogbasti treatment, and I was given medication also, which was very strong. In 2 weeks, I had recovered. I had brand new skin like a baby, and even my doctors were shocked. They said, what would take 6 months? It happened in 2 weeks for you. This is because of your faith plus your disciplined approach to this. After that, I cheated a little bit with my diet.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, you know, I've become all right. I started having idli and dosa, fermented foods.
Mm.
The very next day, I started itching. Very next day, you know, within 30 minutes, I started itching. And I told the doctor, I'm itching. Is urticaria coming back? She said, no, you cheated on the diet. Mm. I said, that's true. So you can recover very, very quickly with
But relapse can happen anytime.
But if you're not committed to your new way of life, your new lifestyle, then you'll keep bringing back old symptoms again and again. It's as simple as obesity. You can come and do a Panchakarma treatment, lose 7-8 kgs. But if you go back to eating all the junk food that you were eating, you know, pizzas and burgers and French fries and McDonald's and, you know, Pizza Hut, you will become obese again. That's where we need to counsel the patient saying that, I will help you heal and recover. But you need to stay on this new lifestyle for the rest of your life because you were heading on a track that was heading towards a crash. I've changed your track. Now your destination has changed forever. That's what new habits do. You have to also be able to counsel your patients to build new habits.
That's the challenging part.
That's where psychology plays a huge role. Counseling, positive motivation, and finding their motivation.
Pain points, yes.
And giving it to them. And only an outsider can do that. Family member cannot do that sometimes. You know, you need an unbiased, honest opinion from a complete stranger.
Who's not emotionally invested.
In your situation. And I've always sought opinions and advice from complete strangers. You know, and they somehow will give you the best advice because they speak from a perspective of an outsider. That helps.
Once, you know, even though I do agree that family members can in fact trigger you more when they give you advice. In fact, family members, even though they would be in their biggest problems, but they would give the most advice. But I know the story. But I don't know. But however, this sounds very true also. Father was a smoker. And his little girl comes and starts crying when he starts smoking and says, Daddy, I want you to be part of my graduation and my marriage. And I want you to be alive and healthy at that time. That's it. He quit smoking.
See, there was a strong motivation.
Because that pain point was stuck, you know. So I think these plays a very important role when it comes to helping people find that ticking point that can turn around there and say goodbye to that old unhealthy habits and say something yes to something new. And also, this is another thing that I've seen. You know, we have a saying, when you have an itchy skin, itching is the most pleasurable part. They forgot what it means to have a healthy skin. So many people, they don't have a benchmark of what it means to feel healthy in their memories, close memories. So they think this is their new normal. I have to live like this. There's no other way. Maybe continue with my immunosuppressants or steroids or painkillers. So, and they try their new diet. They try something new and they think it didn't work for last 3 weeks. And why should it work anymore? So I didn't win the genetic lottery. So I continue like this. That's their inner script that they continue. So unless, you know, we tell them the timeline is not 2-3 weeks. Maybe more than 3 months. Maybe it can even take up to 2.5 years. Unless you're committed, don't expect. But it's rewarding. You know, that ability to set them up. Because many times we set them up for failure. Instead, if we set them up, this is the basics. When you're able to follow these basics, healing is inevitable.
Yeah.
And that's the approach. And I think that's also where, when you talk about, I was able to bridge the gap of communication between the nutritionist, doctors and the patients. I think this is the communication that is missing somewhere. And we are also not able to consciously help them decode and connect the bridges between how actually their habits, like you said, I'm sure most of the Ayurvedic doctors or even health coaches, nutritionists, they are filled with patients who come and tell, I do everything right, but I still, why am I unhealthy? But when you decode, they are hiding something underneath. There is no smoke without fire. I'm sure there is something that is contributing. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, you haven't told me, but we will try to figure it out. It's not like, God was racist and he told you should live with everything right, but you will have this problem. I'm sure something has happened.
Mm.
And in that area, I'm sure you also do that. Maybe we'll also discuss that. Questioning the patient is also a very important part. You know, helping them. Investigations. Like, just the art of good conversation with the patient.
Yeah.
I'm sure you also understand sometimes when the communication is not poor, the patient doesn't want to communicate everything as well. So, how do you deal with that? How do you help them extract some of their darker sides which they do not want to
share?
But we know that is the cause for this, or that could have been the cause. So, what are your steps to help a patient? First of all, you know, I'm sure you have to make them feel safe too. So, how do you help them? It's okay, but let's go to the deeper sides.
We do face that quite often, okay? Where the patient comes and says, I'm doing everything right, but I'm not getting better.
Mm.
And I tell them, listen, the law of the universe is same for all of us.
Mm.
The gravitational law is same for us. Input equals output is also same for us. What goes in is what is coming out. It is impossible that you're putting in healthy food and your body is generating diseases.
Mm.
So if you want me to help you, you tell me honestly where the problem is and I can address it. I had this young girl from Pune.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother and her came for the consult. They came for the daughter first. The daughter did the Panchakarma detox and, you know, and I gave her the complete diet plan and I even sat her down and gave her all the recipes. I told her what, you know, utensils to buy, you know, 5 basic utensils so that you can cook and how to cook and still be able to go to college, how to eat the same thing for lunch and dinner, you know, batch cooking, but not eat tamasic food the next day. That girl turned her life around.
Mm.
Okay. She felt impact. And the next month, I saw the mother in the clinic and I was like, where have I seen this lady? She said, you treated my daughter. I said, oh, lovely. She came, she did consult, she did her treatment, she became all right. Then she brings her son. Son is also doing. And in the meantime, the daughter gets back in touch with me and says, this is confidential between you and me. Don't tell my mother. But I have this one habit. I want to kick it. And I trust you.
Yeah.
I was so happy. This young girl who's in her 20s comes up and tells me upfront that I have this habit. Can you help me kick it?
Yeah.
You have to build that trust with that patient to the point that the patient trusts you and thinks that you can help. And when I gave the girl the remedy, I said, okay, you know, I'm so proud of you for coming up to me and telling me the truth. This stays between you and me. And this is what you can do. You know, these are some steam inhalation, da-da-da. These are some remedies and detoxification rituals that will help you forget your habits. You know, your vices.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl has kicked the habit because she wants to get better. And she was able to trust me and she was able to build a relationship of faith and trust and camaraderie or friendship with me, saying that she's not just my health coach, she's also a good friend to me and I can trust her.
Mm.
Right? So that changed. Then when her brother came for the consult, you know, he had a different psychology. He was very sick with many, many health issues. And that was leading to severe anxiety and even clinical depression at one point in time. And when I saw what he was eating, I was shocked. He was eating everything from outside.
Right.
And he said he was addicted to all the junk foods only. He's like, I don't know how to eat healthy anymore. So then I trained the mother to hire a cook, train the chef, go to Pune, buy all the ingredients, set up the kitchen, set up the masala dabba.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, my friends won't agree. I said, forget what your friends do. You pay for everyone. You get your cook. You eat clean and healthy. Looking at you, your friends will get inspired to eat clean. The ones you're living with. And he said, when I travel, there's nothing clean to eat. Everything is junk. I'm going to Bhopal.
Uh-huh.
I said, impossible that you don't get healthy food in Bhopal.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, but I have to go to McDonald's. I said, no. Who said you have to go to McDonald's? Is someone punishing you and forcing you to go to McDonald's? He's like, no. I said, then who is? I said, I'd rather you eat at a dhaba where the food is cooked and the cooked food is 100% hygienic than you eat a processed packaged burger from a McDonald's. God knows what is the shelf life of that. The minute I said to him that you have a choice and you are choosing the worst of the choices that's available, he understood that it was his responsibility and there was a shift in his mindset. Now, we're still tracking his progress to see how much of his lifestyle he's changed. But I'm saying it's possible that patients can kick their habits.
Definitely.
When you give them a little support. You know, that's all they want. They want a little support. They want a listener. Sometimes they can go overboard, you know, with their complaints. They can go on and on ranting about their complaints, not realizing that there's a limited time period for a consultation. There you have to correct the patient and say, okay, stop complaining. Now let's start focusing on the solution. Right? You can complain for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, all your life because you've been suffering all your life. Let's put all our energy on the solution and shall we discuss only solutions? And suddenly there's a shift in even the patient. They're like, yeah, okay, let's talk about the solution. And every time they bring the problem back saying, yeah, I tried this, but it never worked. I said, again, let's not talk about the problem. Let's talk about the solution. Let's make this work for you. You have to constantly bring them back. You know, they have derailed.
Totally. Yes.
That's why they're sick. You need to bring them back on track with a lot of discipline, reminders and kindness. And also tough love. Kindness is not enough. Tough love. I remember, yes, last week again, this client came to me saying she was struggling with weight issues and severe health issues. And she had a high profile corporate job. And then I saw her diet, what she was already eating. There were almost like 4 to 6 cups of coffee and lots of sugary treats, which the office provides. It's an American company. And I looked at her, I said, this coffee has to go. And she gave me a smile. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to scold you now. She started smiling more. I said, see, the problem is when we were kids, our parents were able to reprimand us, scold us and give us a tap on the knuckles saying that, stop eating sugar. But now there's no one to tell us that. We've grown up into rogue adults where we do what we want and then we pay a heavy price later for suffering. That's what is happening. We've lost discipline and we've lost that tough love, someone who brings us back into place. A second mother. That's where doctors play a second parent in their story.
Absolutely.
Bringing them back.
It's a very profound way to look at it. And this is one thing I have seen. Some of the best doctors or health coaches or even the best nutritionists I've come across who are very successful. They have a knack to help people to get rid of their unhealthy habits. Their ability to communicate in a way, just like that little kid telling the father, I want you to be alive when you are there, when I graduate or when I'm getting married. You know, oh, that's very important for me. How can I get rid of that? So somewhere it is giving them a hope and an imagination. Imagine a life without that. How would that be? Imagine a life if you are not overweight. Imagine a life if you are able to sleep peacefully. Imagine a life where you are able to digest without these problems or having allergies. Oh, I never thought it is possible. You know, many patients come with, it's like a last straw hope.
Yeah.
I think giving that ability to imagine without that, I think that's where most of the successful healers are. You know, their ability to direct their imagination. Let's just look slightly elsewhere. I think that's what your, you know, how your communication with the patient is helping.
You know, you're right about it, okay? I think I've been blessed with my challenges and also with my exposure. When people ask me, why did I choose to become a health coach? I had my own personal health challenges. I had many medical challenges, okay? And how am I able to convince my clients to do the right thing? I had the exposure of living in many countries, like traveling in many countries and living in some. I had exposure to an international community growing up. Like, you know, I had friends from 20 different countries growing up. I also had exposure to people's motivations. You know, when I met people from different cultures and ethnicity, I would always ask, what is common between me and this person? You know, so I have some close French friends and I was like, what is common between them and me? There was a common pursuit of health and happiness. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be happy. There's not a single person in this world you'll meet who says, I want to be unhappy. I want to be unhealthy. there's a common positive motivation. In my case, also my background in journalism, television, my background in investment banking, understanding what corporate world feels like, understanding the temptations of the youth, you know, because I've also had friends who used to party a lot, drink a lot, smoke a lot, and I always was a vegetarian and a teetotaler. And I used to always be curious what makes them do this, right? Having been exposed to many cultures, many lifestyles, many careers allows me to also empathize with what is going on in the other person's mind. So I constantly try to understand, how can I connect with this person? What is our common aspiration? Now, your aspiration is taking Ayurveda to the masses and taking it to the next level compared to what your father did. You know, your father built a foundation and a legacy for you. But instead of just being trapped in that legacy, you wanted to break some barriers and do that. So the first time when we sat down and spoke, I told you the barriers that I was breaking and the challenges I was facing of being in Ayurveda despite not having a medical degree. And you were able to empathize with that. And I was able to empathize with your journey. So you have to, when speaking with a person, look for that common point of aspiration or motivation. That is your connecting point. I have noticed or felt the success of connecting with people who don't speak the same language as me. I had an Ethiopian driver in California who was taking me around. He didn't speak much English. Of course, I didn't speak Ethiopian. But we ended up developing such a good bond simply because I asked him when I sat in the car that I'm going to order a sandwich. Can I order one for you? He was so touched by that. He's like, no one has ever offered me a sandwich. I was surprised. I said, in India, that's what we do. We don't eat without offering the other person, even if it's a complete stranger, saying, can I give you a bite? Even in a train, we have this habit of sharing meals, right? He was so touched by that he took me for a 2-hour tour around California in the evening at no extra cost. So we always have to look at how we can connect with that other person, find a common motivation and an aspiration, and then use that as a leverage to convince that person to listen to your advice. Even that helps.
Totally. I mean, even the word relationship.
Yeah.
It comes from the word relate.
Yes.
What can I relate with this? How can I relate with this person? That's what relation, I think that's what you're trying to explain.
I find that, you know, being a medical doctor like yourself and everybody else that I work with, it is a challenge because you meet a lot of people. Like my doctor's met 10,000 patients in her lifetime. She's lost count. She says, I don't remember people by their name or face, but the minute they tell me their symptoms, I remember them. Ah, you're that person with that symptom, I remember. I know it is challenging, but she connects with the patients through empathy that I understand you've been suffering. I want to help you. Even that one line works. Even if you don't have time to have a full-fledged conversation like the way we are having, even that one sentence, I know you've been suffering for a long time. Don't worry. We will do everything to help you. The minute you say that, you know, the emotions that comes out of that person on the other side is genuine and real.
That feeling of safety, you know, that's what is...
That you're cared for. That someone is listening to you. That someone wants to help you. That's what people want, right? Even if that person sees a ray of hope, that person will do everything in his or her hands or power to reach out for that and find a way out. But you have to give them the ray of hope, that positive motivation, that don't worry, I am there. And that helps.
Totally. Even the word, even though some of the meanings of the word vaidya,
yeah,
you know, it's written, Vidya is knowledge, and Vaidya is somebody who can give that knowledge and wisdom. But there's also another meaning of Vaidya, is to give that confidence, give that ray of hope and light that, okay, I understand you are in a space of darkness, but we can, let's hold hands and take step by step to uncover that. So I think giving that, even if some of the diseases are incurable, maybe not, I wouldn't use the word incurable because it's not technically right. Just because somebody didn't find a cure doesn't mean it is incurable. Maybe tomorrow it could become curable, but I'm deviating the topic. But the point is, some diseases is very difficult.
Yeah.
But just by being in a space of compassion and empathy itself is a huge healer there. And that can give a, that could give a recovery too. You know? And that's where many doctors who have a big heart and empathy has a huge, I mean, these doctors, you'll find it at home as a mother. or as your friend, or just like to that Ethiopian driver, you are a healer at that point of time because yeah. I care for you. We are together. You know, that sense itself is able to unlock many people's resistance and find, okay, I am counted. I am myself. You know, this is a way for me to also heal and open up.
You are mothering the patient.
Exactly.
Right? That's why I said, you know, doctors are like a second parent to the child, to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
The mother gave birth. The mother was able to nourish, nurture, and bring the child up to the age of 18, 20 in a very safe environment. But after that, the child or the adult now is on its own. And when they go on a wrong path for way too long with repeatedly abusing their body or having the same wrong habits or same wrong nutrition, they end up in the hospital seeking help. Now, the person who's helping is a doctor, but also a life giver. You know, that's why in India, we say doctors are gods because they bring life back into you. And hats off to them. You know, the frontline doctors who are in the first line of medical emergency and care, you know, emergency physicians, they bring life back. Their job is to bring life back. After that, it's your responsibility and duty to take care of that gift that the doctor has given you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell patients. You know, you can go to a hospital for acute conditions, but when you come back, you have to address it so that there is no relapse by changing your diet and lifestyle. You have a responsibility and a duty towards this body. This body is not a gift for you to abuse. God has given you this body, your privileged class, that you have hands and legs at work. There are so many who are born with improper limbs or born with autoimmune disorders or born with genetic disorders. What do you do for them? You can't do anything. You can give them hope. You can give them kindness and empathy and strength and immunity and nourishment. But you are a privileged class and you have a serious responsibility and duty towards your body.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take that lightly. And I guess, you know, if patients and doctors can come halfway, that meeting point is golden. That's where healing is. Mm-hmm. And you're right, you know, for every disease there's a cure. For every problem, there is a solution. You know, for every disease or a discomfort in our body, there is a herb that can heal us. Our job is just to find it. We've not found it yet. But in such cases, at least we must continue giving that patient the motivation and the confidence and kindness and empathy. Keep going. We will find the path.
Mm-hmm.
We will find our way out of this maze, this chakravyuh.
Mm-hmm.
We will find our way out of it together. That motivation is a game changer.
Totally.
And that, I feel like, you know, is the biggest placebo effect that you can give a patient, you know. People debate about it, saying that, oh, homeopathy is all placebo. Naturopathy, Ayurveda is probably placebo and a pseudoscience. Whatever you say, people are getting better from it, right? People are healing. People have been able to bid adieu to chronic diseases. I have recovered from urticaria. I was able to avoid my fifth surgery for fibrocystic benign tumors. My dad was able to avoid his gallbladder surgery by dissolving his gallbladder stone. So many of my patients were able to avoid deviated septum septoplasty surgery by just doing Nasium treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People are getting better. I've seen clinical depression patients come out of clinical depression using just Shirodhara treatment and mild medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too strong. No antidepressants. They were not suppressing it. I am seeing miracles happen on a daily basis, but small miracles, big miracles, at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't shut down everything, you know. And in this area, a psychological factor plays a huge role in helping these patients tide over bad times.
Mm-hmm.
There, I guess, you know, doctors, if they were equipped with the right counselors, this holistic science can go a long way.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.